Welcome, everyone, to another episode of The Late Night Show with myself and Dominic, right there.
Hi, everybody.
Do you call me in sales? I have not seen you on a show that doesn't say Safe Check Training on your title.
Well, that's Safe Check Training, man. That's our show. We have to say the name on that one.
What is that ABC, always be selling? AB, always be closing.
Always be closing, yeah.
Always be closing. So tonight we have a great show, everyone. So we are talking about the restaurant industry. And you know what is surprising about the restaurant industry is, one, I'll get these marbles out of my mouth, and then we're going to use ChatGPT tonight because it is surprisingly smarter than us. And we're going to talk about, I actually preempted a little bit, Dominic. I'm kind of cheating. I want to talk about this crazy thing that Google just did today. And it added in pricing. I don't know if Justin saw this or Rita saw this. They're going to be joining us here in a second. But Google put in pricing today when you do a restaurant search. And it is going to create a lot of noise. Let's put it this way, I believe. And Dominic, myself, had this talk this afternoon about this. It's kind of crazy. We're going to talk about, I put that into chat, and we'll see if ChatGPT is going to give us the topic around that topic. I hope that makes sense. But anyways, we have two great guests on tonight. And to everyone joining us, we love questions. If you join us on Instagram, I have you over here on my other screen. And we'll be answering any question over there. Please ask us any questions you want into relation to this or to our guest. And by the way, Dominic, this is not a podcast.
Not a podcast, Jay.
Not a fucking
podcast. And anybody who thinks it's a podcast
should go listen to podcasts and then listen to this. So it's not even close. We tend to fall asleep once in a while. Right? Yeah. We call that napping cast. That's not a podcast. This is a napping cast. We just invite guests and then we fall asleep while they talk. So anyways.
Yeah. What do you say? Talk amongst yourselves and leave. Yeah. Go for a nap.
Okay. Yeah. We actually bring these guests in. We just leave you guys in the green room for the hell of it. Anyways, we're going to bring them in right now. God, I look just, is this is a TikTok thing? I'm sorry, but it's brutal. Camera's good on that camera. Oof. Anyways, we're going to bring them in. I'll let you do the intros, Dominic. Do you want to hear a drum roll?
Yeah, no, you do. Justin's from Evocalize. I don't know where Kim is from. Rita. Not where you're from. Where do you work, Rita? Sorry. I don't want to know where you're from. I want to know where you're from after, but right now, where do you work?
Hi, Dominic. Hi, Jay, Justin. Nice to see you all. And Jay, you warned me this would be interesting. So, Dominic, where am I from? Where do I work? Lots of questions.
He's a little slow, just so you know.
All right. I run a management consulting firm. It's called Partners for Growth.
Cool.
Yeah. There we go. They're way smarter than us, so this should be really good, Dominic, tonight.
That's awesome.
Justin, tell us a little bit about yourself.
What city do you hail from, Rita?
In Athabasca in Alberta, so about an hour and a half northeast of Edmonton.
Of where awesome. I live.
Yeah.
Of where Jay lives.
Yes. And Justin, where are you located, Justin? We kind of creeped you out. Dominic was creeping you earlier, so...
I am in Denver, North Carolina, which is someplace that nobody's ever heard of, but just north of Charlotte.
Oh, okay.
But we moved here a couple years ago from Denver, Colorado.
Wow. That was one of the stipulations. Anywhere as long as it's Denver?
I have one hard rule in my life. That's it. I have to live in Denver's.
That is awesome. But
yeah, I lead the marketing team over to Vocalize. We automate paid digital marketing at a local level based on local data.
Cool.
So you're like totally way smarter than us, both of you.
No.
No, you don't. No.
Rita probably is. Problems.
Well, yeah. she's in management consulting, so that's...
Let me beat there, too.
That's the ultimate, yeah, for sure, right? Because... well, there's lots to be said there. Most people, we should learn from that, though, is that we should never believe our own press clippings and always seek outside guidance and advice. Oh,
it's a perfect infomercial for me. Thank you, Dominic. That was great.
I mean that. It doesn't have to be with you, Rita, but it probably would be great if it was. But, seeking others' opinions, Jay, is just, it's smart, right?
Yeah. Well, that's why we started the company, though, Dominic, is it's not just about you and your knowledge, and you don't have to know it all. And sometimes you don't want to do it all either. That's the other thing, too. And you might not be good at it either, of course. So why not surround yourself with other people that are experts in the industry? And that's just all we are, just partners for growth. So we bring in the best people, the best talent that you need to build and grow your business.
Yeah, I do a podcast with Jay. A podcast, not this thing, but a real podcast. Well, this isn't a podcast.
Don't even start.
This isn't a podcast.
The one you do with me is. The one you do with me is. And I went and got a pro.
Tell her what number is. You're proud of this.
I'm number eight.
You're number eight. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Well, number three, seven by birth, but number eight in podcasts.
Three in the top 10. So, Yeah, I like that, eh?
That's amazing. That's not bad.
I know, fuck you. You're kidding me. It's amazing. You'll understand after today or tonight. Anyways.
So, Jay, how is...
What's it get so serious?
I got to keep us on track. Keep us under 2.5 hours. Guys,
I had a lot of caffeine tonight.
This really goes late nights.
Did you just say 2.5 hours, Dominic?
I'm not in for 2.5 hours.
I'm gone. I'm leaving when Justin goes.
No, your childhood problems, your whole life. Let's start back 5 years old. No, it's going to be great. So what we're going to do tonight, are you getting into this? Fuck, can I talk?
Tonight
we're going to bring up the ChatGPT, like Dominic said. And to everyone that's watching us on Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, and all this, we're going to be talking about, I did kind of cheat, guys. I know we usually start off with just putting your names in to ChatGPT-4, but we are actually going to talk, see what it spits out around this Google thing. Now, have you both seen the Google thing that came out today?
Yes, no? I saw your LinkedIn note. So
did you?
I absolutely noticed it, how they put the prices in. And ouch. You were confused if it was price per head or
it is price per head.
You ended up finding that out then. Okay.
Yeah. It's price per head. So I want to talk about this tonight because you guys are the experts. You're super smart no matter what. Hello, everyone that's saying Jay over there. I want to talk about this because me and Dominic had like this really, it wasn't that in depth or crazy world changing talk this afternoon about this, but I think there's something to talk about. First of all, did Google ask us if we wanted this? I don't know. Never thought about that either.
But, yeah, I'm going to say no to that.
I don't think Google called up every restaurant and said, do you think we should put your prices in the description? So, but anyways, let's jump into this because you're all kind of, we still don't know each other yet, so we'll get kind of goofy here in a second. But to everyone else, please throw in your questions or comments around today's topic. And we're going to bring up ChatGPT-4 here. Let's see if I can find that screen and share that screen.
So how does this work? Do you type in our names into ChatGPT?
No, I've actually just preset it. We're going to bring it up on the screen here. Boom.
Okay.
Right there. We're going to close that so you can't see my other cheating stuff. And then we're going to talk about what topic can we talk about tonight in relation to Google putting pricing on the search page for restaurants. List three topics around this. So we're going to see you guys pick out what this is, because here's the thing, because this isn't a podcast. I don't know if you guys have listened to enough scripted podcast, but yeah, I do my fair share. And I can't even say Dominic's title of his, right? But we want to really kind of give a little bit of a electrical charge to podcast. So we do it this way. And it's not a podcast. We can do whatever we want.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's more fun this way too, because it allows for sort of free flowing conversation.
So first topic is around the impact on consumer behavior and decision making. That might be a good one. Wink, wink. Effects on restaurant and the hospitality industry. And digital marketing SEO strategies for restaurants. Well, that sounds like Justin. I know a little bit about that. Right? I think it knew it. It knew us.
Oh, man, I'm starting to sweat. What's going on?
Well, those things that look like stars are really Google drones, right? I don't know if everybody realized. I'm a conspiracy theorist as well. So.
And if he gets into the government, there's a rule we don't talk government. If we do, we can all have a nap because Dominic will get into it for by himself for 20 minutes. But what topic, ladies and gentlemen, would you like to go with? One, two, or
can
three?
Can we quickly, for those of us who are not as versed as to what happened with Google, can we give a quick primer on what they announced?
Absolutely. What we can do even is we can actually go in and show you what Google did and show you what it has done recently. And we'll use... Yeah, this
is brought up Charlotte, right? Today.
Well, we did, but we'll do Calgary because I just typed it in.
Okay, cool.
And I'm going to show you here. Good point. Thanks, Justin. We're going to bring you along for all podcasts. Keep us in line here.
If you're going to bring me along for this conversation, you got to do this.
Okay. Here we go. So this is what, for everyone that is tuning in, Google thought it'd be fun to also disclose today. They've added pricing into when you do a search of restaurants, to plural, restaurants in Calgary. They've actually included now your pricing. So we'll doesn't show there for all of them because it's probably still using whatever resource it is, but it is now included your dollar amount per person.
Jay, can you zoom that in a little bit, like control zoom there, just so it might get bigger on the screen. I don't know if the price. Yeah, it will. That's cool.
Okay. So what we can do, you can notice now that where they were doing is they were using the dollar sign, three being she's pricey, two being not so, one being okay. But what they've done is they've switched that up now, and you'll notice none of them showing. There we go. They've actually included the dollar amount now on average per person. And not on all, because I think it just got launched today. This is new. It is something that we do see not on all, but Jesus, where's the examples when you need it? There we go.
Well, there's
that they do have this. Okay. It is disclosed in there. And Dominic, myself are thinking maybe it's going to allow you now to search through pricing, filter that way. Is this going to have, like ChatGPT said, an impact on our industry or not? Okay. Kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. Kind of interesting. So let's go back to chat here, see what it said. Let's change the screens. And thank you. I hope everyone got that. Thanks for letting me tell everyone. That makes more sense now. But let's go back into this. So chat, one, the impact on consumer behavior decision-making, effects on the restaurant and hospitality industry, and digital marketing and SEO strategies for restaurants, right? So one, two, or three, which one for tonight?
One seems good for me. I don't know. We could even touch Rita? On all three of them a little bit.
We probably will.
We probably will, yeah.
Rita?
We got 2.5 hours.
Rita, you're on mute.
I'm on mute. Sorry. One sounds good. One sounds good.
So the impact in consumer behavior. So exploring how inclusion of pricing information on Google's restaurant search results affects consumer choices and behaviors. So let's open up with that part of this, the point here on chat. So who wants to start? Do you think this will have a big impact on consumer behavior as it just got launched today? Who wants to start? Justin? Or no, ladies first. I gotta work on my manners.
It's all good, Jay. If Justin wants to take it, he can start. It doesn't bother me. It's all good.
Go for it.
All right. You know, for somebody like myself, I don't think it would make much of a difference. I think that maybe potentially for a younger generation, it would make a big difference because they would immediately start kind of sizing things down right away. What's the range? What's the budget? If we're going to go out and eat, we're going to pick a place that has what we want and we're comfortable with that. And we want to go enjoy an experience and some time out. So I don't think it would bother me that much. And besides, it never really tells you what we're going to order and how much that's going to really be. So it doesn't impact me all that much. I'm concerned more about the restaurants themselves, about them potentially getting impacted because somebody might look at that number and say all of a sudden, well, I'm not going to go there. They're just going to immediately make a decision that doesn't work for me, whether it's actually too high or too low. And now all of a sudden they might not get that experience and you don't know what you're missing.
Yeah, it's interesting. a couple of things come to mind for me. One is like we've got four kiddos, so I'm pretty cost conscious in terms of like what the total bill is going to be for mm-hmm. us if we're going for six people anywhere. So that is something that I would consider. You know, as a consumer, I think there's especially the way prices are right now and like inflation seems so high, or at least from a grocery bill perspective, right? You feel it every day. So this is one way I think for us to determine like, is something worth giving a shot, especially if we've never been there before. So it may help us to kind of weed out things that might be a little bit on the pricier side. But then I try to think through like from Google's perspective, Jay, you made the comment earlier, like, is this something that, or maybe it was Dominic, that we asked for? Mm. And it seems like when features like this are put in place, you know, I have to think it's because Google is trying to drive a certain behavior. Either they're trying to drive dollars spent, which to me, I'm thinking like eventually there's probably going to be something where because someone is, maybe they're not getting as much traffic because the prices are getting blocked out. So now they're going to have to start paying more for ad spend to try to drive people there. So it helps on the consumer side and it helps on Google's side in terms of generating more revenue. But I don't know necessarily how much it does help on the restaurant side, unless they're priced in an appealing, you know, bracket for their, an appealing range for their demographic.
I thought that it might, because of people like yourself with families that are saying, hey, I'm going to go out and there's going to be six of us. I thought it might benefit consumers in that they may, because of that showing up now, they may look at their menu and say, hey, we have to have some stuff that's on the value side. Because I heard today, the CEO of McDonald's said that people with incomes of in the US, $45,000, which would be like $22 an hour, Jay, are frequenting McDonald's less. $45,000 and less, they're frequenting the restaurants less because of pricing, which says something, right? Because you know that the price of a Big Mac's like $9 or something now in the States, or $8. So will Google posting prices make restaurants look and say, hey, this is possibly going to have an impact. I need to rejig my menu so I don't look so far. Maybe fine dining is not going to touch it, right? Maybe they don't care because they've got their customers and they're not worried about the you know, the single dollar sign. Mm-hmm. I don't know, Jay, what do you think?
I got a lot to think on this. I think it will have an impact on restaurants because you're shopping. People are going to be shopping for this. We used to do this in menus. We said, you know, you don't blind price because people just look for the better deal. I think it will have an impact on some restaurants that, and the accuracy also may be in question as well. How accurate is it? Dominic, you already said that one locations you saw, like, there's no way that's priced like that. So my guess is they probably got some AI system that's built or pulling this information out of websites or whatever the case is.
Yeah. Back to what Justin said, maybe Google in their wisdom said, hey, we're going to go crawl the web, post all the prices and force restaurants to go and update their info.
Yeah.
Or refresh their web pages.
True. Is it an average price? That's the other question I had. Because, I mean, how...
I believe it is.
It's an average of everything.
Yeah. I think it's going to have an interesting effect on it. Yelp doesn't have it. We checked Yelp. We checked OpenTable. They don't have it yet. Is this become the new benchmark? I don't know.
So from Google's standpoint, like, you think, like, they want to put features in place. They're going to set themselves apart from Yelps of the world.
Yeah.
So if this is something that they think, maybe they've done some consumer research that says, man, I just wish I knew the price. Yeah. Cause usually companies that big don't invest to this level without some insight like that. I worked at Fortune 500 company Polaris, and we did a lot of consumer testing on vehicles before we even kind of were halfway through the process, just to make sure we're going in the right direction. Because if you have 3 years in development on something, like, you want to make sure you nail it. I'm sure something like this, like, where in software there's the MVP and you kind of go in sprints to kind of mitigate some of that risk, but you still have, I mean, it's still a heavy lift to to push something like this out there.
Well, look, have you ever seen Google Flights? Have you ever used Google Flights?
No.
Google Flights, you can be, you know, pick, you know, where you want to go to, where you want to end up. You can have multiple stops, and it'll bring up all the flights and then give you some options of, you know, selecting an airline, which I don't know if those are paid links or not, but I'm sure they're, you know, you could boost your links with Google. But I foresee something like that, Jay, where we had the little drop down at the top where it said, you know, pick, I would sort by price or whatever. I would think that in the future, this may lead to something like Google Flights, where you put in your dollar range, where you want to go, what part of the city you want to go, and it's going to sort all that out for you and give you four or five options where you put, you know, from as little as $1 to as much as $50 or between $20 and $30, you know, four guests with a patio, blah, 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 blah. And Google gives you the, you know, here's the six restaurants that meet your criteria.
I'm wondering if it's going to be powerful. Yeah, I wonder if it's also going to avoid, like, one of the big things in restaurants is that we want to suggest a sell, upsell. To a certain degree, it's very sensitive through times like this, but you also do want to see checks that are somewhat decent. Do you have a preset notion that you're going to spend $20 at that restaurant? That's it. No more. So you're going to be less likely to go, you know what, throw another drink on or throw another dessert on. Is it already kind of locking you in on what your spend is prior? And is that going to have an effect on a restaurant as well? And we're going to talk about the timing. It's right now is one of the most difficult times ever in our industry, especially in the Canadian market, for something like this to come out to hit restaurants as well.
Yeah, I think it goes back to, you know, who's, you know, the end user again. So yeah. If we're talking, like Justin was saying, him and his family, by the way, wow, four kids, congratulations. I don't know how you manage. They're all the main fans. They all have red hair. Okay. No comment on that. We'll leave that.
I guess he's a good guy. Take care of him. So,
but six kids and, you know, but it's not that you'd go out dining every single day. So there's probably an occasion or something else. So then you're going to make a decision based on, you know, is it going to be that dollar that's going to drive you? Or are you going to say, well, these kids will never eat anything unless they have X on the table and there's no point going unless. So are we really, you know, is Google driving us to the dollar, or are we, you know, can we still think for ourselves and go, no, this is what I actually want. This is what I'm looking for in terms of what I'm looking to eat or the experience and, you know, the experience.
Yeah. My guess is that there's some, if I think from, like, if I put my demand gen marketer hat on, it's like, what are the barriers within the customer journey that you want to get around to try to get them to convert to the next stage? And if you think of the buyer's journey in this instance, if I'm like, I'm hungry now, I'm going to go search for best burger near me in Calgary. And I'm going to quickly come to a conclusion based on a few things. It could be what they're displaying now, like the dollar signs is one consideration, the reviews, the number of reviews, the star level. And I think it's obvious that Google has done their homework to determine what are those actual barriers that people put up in front of them to make the decision, and systematically, just one by one, how do we knock down each of these barriers? I think it's just a way for folks to do the more complete research and align expectations before they go to an organization for, you know, to make their purchase or to take that next step in their journey.
That was really smart. That was really smart, by the way.
No, when you align those,
that was a smart moment by Justin.
Yeah, you get one. You get one a day. I saved it for this. What did I get done at work today?
No, I totally agree with you, Justin. I want to bring it up here, and I totally agree with you, but I want to bring it up because I'm looking at this, and I know that we're pulling attention to the pricing on this because today's discussion, but as millennials and Gen Z, especially Gen Z is who we're going after right now, right, is obviously in the industry. It's not our generation. Unfortunately, millennials are not the generation either.
What is that? What is that, Gen Z?
It's a Gen Z. It's the younger folks.
Gen Z?
Gen Z. Sorry.
Oh, I wasn't sure where he was going. I wasn't sure where he's going with that either.
Sesame Street was tough. So anyways, I'd like you to look at, like, just look at this. Do you make a decision? Dominic, you've ate a lot of these places. Do you make a decision if you're younger based on those prices there? Of those locations?
I think Rita nailed it in saying that it really depends on, like, I think a couple things. The occasion, because even if I was younger and I didn't have money, for a special occasion, I might go to a really nice place and spend that money. I'm probably going to be more critical of the service and the food and all that sort of things, but I might be treating myself. You know, me, I'm at the stage of my life where I kind of eat where I want to eat, and I want to try new things. So I would go to any of these places. And for me, at the, you know, I'm nearing 60 pretty soon. So the money's not my issue. So yeah. It's not going to affect me. I think it's giving choices or opening up the choices to people to really define what they want. And I can just see it getting bigger, where it's going to challenge some of these apps. It might kill some of the apps, really. Like I told you, Jay, I usually look on OpenTable myself. Mm. I rarely go to Google to look. I don't know what other people's experience is.
Yeah, I think if you think about it, I talked a little bit about those consideration points of the barriers. Look, just stop scrolling for a second, Jay. And if you look at any of these given, it's like, what are the things to consider? It's on a map. So is it near me?
Mm-hmm.
Like the star considerations are showing up before the price. So information hierarchy. Yeah. That's going to be more important to the general masses than the price. And the price, especially if it's not like accurate, it's such a wide range, it's not as valuable. So it's like they consider that afterward. If you look at like 100 plus, anyone in that age or any in that category who's going to be going there anyway, they don't care if it's $100 or $150, they're spending money and they get it and it doesn't really matter. It's not going to sway any decisions.
Yeah.
But I'm curious to see what those ranges are going to be, if it's 20, 30, 50, 75 or whatever it might be.
There's
those
no pricing 75. Tiers. It's like 50 to 100 or 100 plus after the 30.
Yeah.
We did look at that this afternoon.
And so there's
the ranges were it's probably to what you just said. It's probably a demographic thing that Google probably knows. Hey, sub $30, almost anybody will eat there.
Yeah.
Does it pull down the, like, I know Holy Grill. I know this restaurant. This is a cool place. Amazing food. Is that price there pull down the quality of what you're going to get if it's a lower price? But you're not.
Mm.
Is it not a set an expectation?
I don't think so. I think it's back to...
Do you think you're going to get a $10 meal here?
But your star ratings should negate that, though.
True.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good point.
I find it interesting where this came from.
I think going back to your other question you had earlier about the restaurants, and did they actually want this? Did they ask for this? If I was a restaurant owner, would I want this published? How does it impact me? You know, those are big pieces right there. So there's the consumer side of it, which, maybe Google's trying to help. I think I wonder, Dominic said he's a conspiracy theorist, so I'm going to leave that alone. But
tell me your thoughts, Rita. Tell me what you think.
I don't think Google's helping us. Google's dumbing us down. I think Google just dumbs you down and doesn't make you think and doesn't, or helps you to think less, I guess. And
I'm with you.
I think we're a lot more beyond just looking at Google for just one understanding of what we want and where we want to go.
Yeah. Is Google pushing today that it's so late, I don't even know how to articulate this. The ability for folks to put their menu items listed actually in their business page. I wonder if that's something that potentially they could be going toward if you update your menu on there.
I would bet you're right there. And I, even further to that, I would bet that they're going to rank you up or down in the future based on how often you update your web page, and not necessarily going to physically put information directly into your business listing, because they want automation, right? They don't want verification through anything. They just want to trust that you're going to put up. Yeah.
They've made the move toward online orders.
Yeah, well, this is,
they're going to bend over backwards to get their information right, because you're going to lose your ranking on those pages if it's not good, if it's not up to date.
But this also makes it tougher with the costs always rising and changing. And let's say a restaurant decides to say, let me have something new on the menu, because they never do that. So how do you want to, upkeep all of this? Like, who are we doing this for again now? Right.
Well, you're right. And when you look at right now, restaurants are just struggling every which way because of the profits. They're having to increase prices. There's a ceiling they're hitting right now on their price increases. So,
yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah, and I think it always goes to, for me, like, it always goes back to the platforms. They're trying to get as much engagement as possible, get as many people on the platform, stay on their platform over other platforms, so they can leverage their platform and drive more ads and get more revenue. So if they put things in place to get the consumers there and constantly have them be on their platform, now it's like, we've got their attention. Restaurants, if you want to get a piece of this, you're going to have to pay, So it's always to the benefit of, I think, Google first, then the consumer gets the benefit, and then the restaurants, it just kind of, they have to pay to play. Yeah.
Yeah. I think again, it goes also back down to, as any business, you need to know who you are. What is the gap or problem you're trying to solve? Who's your market? And how do you make sure that you're able to provide solutions or products or services to that market? And so if you know that, then again, some of the stuff that, Google or whoever tries to do doesn't really matter, because you actually have a brain of your own and you do your own research, not just on Google. But today's question's about Google.
What was that?
I said, yeah, Jay, so stay off Google.
Yeah, it's all Jay's fault.
Well, no, what I bring this, because I was thinking of, is this just another, like Justin said, obviously it's in benefit of Google, but is Google trying to get a little bit more creative here because of it not being necessarily the search engine anymore that people go towards? Like, we know that TikTok is a major search engine now. We know ChatGPT is moving over. I know my kids are using Chat as a search engine now. A lot more than they are using Google. Is this Google just looking at different ways to increase their activities on their sites? I don't know. Are they getting challenged finally?
100%. I back to what Justin said, I think 100%. They're looking at everything, just like everything else, right? How do we get more people here? How do we keep, justifying to guys like us, hey, your ad spend is worth something because of X traffic. And, when they get down to segmentation to restaurants or people that might be looking for whatever it is, they have all the data right now, right? That if anything, it's theirs to lose to, like you just said, Jay, to these other platforms. So they have to, and who knows, you know, many of these things have probably been sitting there for years waiting to be
someone, you know, actually turned the switch on or what?
Probably. Their whole thing.
Way to go, Tom. He turned the damn switch on.
Well, what are they, like, there's the, apparently if you work there, you get 20% of your time you can work on a special project for yourself, right? Something you want to pursue.
And it's a special project.
Well, Gmail was a special project. AdWords was a special project that's making them billions, right? So
true.
It's to their benefit, I think, to release. And if the consumer benefits from it, which some might, 100%.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. Not all will benefit, but some might. And it's like, if you, that's just the, it's just the game of constantly incrementally getting more and more folks on your platform. So the ones that might not benefit, they might already be on the platform, or they're going to find something else that, that will help them. So like OpenTable, like I like to use OpenTable if I want to go in and like make a reservation. So does Google to the point yet where you can make reservations right there? You know, you see them implementing new features for like online ordering and stuff like that, trying to be like the online order option. You know, they're just trying to insert themselves into every step along the way so that they can convert as much as possible to incrementally bring more and more people onto their platform.
Hey, Jay, do you have Microsoft Edge on your computer?
Mm-hmm. Have you used it before?
Well, I'm curious. Yeah. If you bring up Bing...
Sorry. I have it. I've never used it. I'm like, it opens up. I'm like, what the hell is this thing?
Well, I hate it as hell. I freaking think
it's similar to Chrome, but it's based on Chrome. But when you bring up Edge, I'm curious if their map search for with the same search does the same thing.
I will find out for you. But I do notice. And I don't know how many people use the Google online ordering system for those restaurants, right? I don't know if they go, I never use it. And I've used a lot when it comes to DoorDash, Skip the Dishes, Uber Eats and stuff. I don't know if people are using that, but to your point, Justin, is this another phase in to get into bigger places? Like they said, they tend to copy and then try to do their own spin on a lot of things too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They let other folks test it out. Like, yeah, yes, this smart. Seems to be working the market, and then they go for it.
It's actually a smart kind of a doofus way to do it, though, right? Like, you guys go figure it out, or is that
the do all the work? Yeah,
it depends on how you want to play the game. Like, when I mentioned being at Polaris, we had in some of our segments, we had like 86% market share in like performance off-road vehicles, and Can-Am would just sit there and just wait for us to test things out, and then they'd come in and they'd build a vehicle just like what we had. Yamaha, seriously. All the Honda, all of the other players did the same thing.
So Microsoft Edge does not do that, Dominic.
Okay.
It just has the dollar amounts. It doesn't have the breakdown yet. So
dollar signs.
Yeah, dollar signs. Amount? No, just the dollar signs. It just has. Yeah, I'll show you here a second. I don't know if you can share screen on Microsoft Edge without people losing their mind. People get mad when you do this. I don't know if my computer allow it. Let's go through a window.
It should allow.
There you go. Boom. There you go. So you can see the difference.
Well, that's different. That's actually better how they do that, I think, with the photos. I like that.
Though. Yep.
Yeah, it looks better. No one knows it exists, though.
Yeah.
Well, they're gaining search.
They're what?
They're gaining on the search side.
Oh, what was that? That was like a map. Let's go back into that. So
you enlarge your map.
There it is.
So here's the, like, I look at this right now, and I'm looking at more of the ratings. Looking at the dollar signs, that doesn't really mean much to me.
And it's TripAdvisor. It's not even their own ratings. It's TripAdvisor.
Yeah. Interesting. So they don't have it either. FYI. You're curious. But it is interesting. I think a lot of restaurants are just going through everything. And then this comes out, and we won't know the effects until, you know, many months or years down the road of what this does. Sure, someone, like to your point earlier, Dominic, is obviously monitoring this. It's some guy's maybe side project hustle for Google. But I think my gut is telling me it's going to have some impact, and some owners are not going to like it.
I agree.
I don't think it's fair to be able to go and publish all this stuff, because tomorrow things might change, you know, and now I'm at the mercy of whatever price that I updated. And there's so many things going on as a business owner. It's tough. And now I guess they've always been taking a lot of our marketing away from us. So I'm not the expert in marketing in any way. So I'm really excited that Justin is here to help explain a lot of this stuff.
I just Googled it while you were talking.
You use Google.
I didn't use Edge.
Did Google say nothing to see here?
I think if you're going to take note of anything that I say tonight, it's going to be an outcome will be achieved and people will be impacted.
Yeah.
That's there you go. No one knows.
There you go.
Oh my God. I think
you also had a good question though earlier, Jay, is what about the consumers that are going into the restaurant? So now it says between 10 to 20. Mm. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm having a drink of water.
I'm not sure what you did there, but
so I'm having a quick nap, Justin.
That happened. Well, if somebody walks in and says it's between $10 to $20, and then now as a consumer, do I have, this is really, really, really bad, but do I have the right to yell at you now if it's $25, but it said $10 to $20? Are you going to get mad? Are we going to deal with that now?
I think you'll have misaligned expectations, and there'll be a level of annoyance, and it will definitely impact the visitor's experience. I don't know to the point that they're going to yell, but they may leave a bad review.
You haven't been to Alberta, buddy.
Don't leave a bad review. Like,
maybe they won't leave a tip.
Back to your tip discussion. Well, I think when you look at the marketing space, price always dictates a lot of it, like a lot of that experience, right? Of what it is and what you pay for and the value that you're going to get out of that dinner. I'm already expecting a higher level if I see $100 per person than I am on a $20 location. So I'm going to expect a $100 service if I show up. Now, if I don't get my $100 service, Dominic, I totally can't wait to dine out with you because of this now. Because you'd be like, I got fucking $98 here. I didn't get $100 per.
I would never say that to the restaurant. Absolutely.
No, you'd say it to me.
Well, for sure.
For weeks.
Again, we have that expectation.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think if the restaurant's going to, in anything they do, Jay, I think, and this is going to force restaurants to keep.
Level up.
It's like Rita said, I think it sucks because there's so much on their plate. Now they got to deal with one more thing, worrying about, are my prices accurate? And, you know, these are things that they obviously should be right anyway. But the negative review part scares me because, if I had something negative to say, I would say it to the restaurant. I would never leave them a review because I think a lot of times they're just unfair, right? Like people
Do people still do that, though? Do people still leave bad reviews as much as they used to?
On Google?
Pull up Google. You just had a whole list of them.
I think that's so cowardly. I think there's no character or honor in that. I think that if you're upset, just go and have a chat, you know, and say, Justin, the way you run your restaurant is just not, right. And I'm not condoning how you guys are doing this. And, you know, and try to resolve it.
My brother used to say people stand 20 feet high behind an email. Same kind of thing as this, right? They're 20 feet tall, whatever, behind an email. Same kind of thing, I think, in a review. People think they're big and mighty by doing this, and it's all about them. It's not about the restaurant. And I think that's a lot of people that maybe don't even work in or have worked in the restaurant that knows what they're going through.
That's the thing.
Dangerous part about those is when those stars are there, if you don't go, like, and let's say there was a, you know, let's say it was 4.2 and you were questioning it, unless you went and looked at what the, you know, the people that gave him the one star to get him that low to see really what their review was. And most people won't. I happen to look at them because we're in business and we get reviewed. When you look at the reviews, if they're if they're real and legitimate, then you most people understand. But if they're nitpicky and, let's say, unreasonable, most people will also say, "Well, this person's an idiot."
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. Like, the restaurant's probably happy that they're never going to go back, right?
Like, you heard about that drive-through situation that happened. You probably didn't, Justin. But just recently, I believe it was in Edmonton or somewhere around Edmonton. And there was a lady and her guy that drove through a McDonald's and she chewed out the drive-thru worker. Did you guys hear about that story?
They recorded it.
They recorded it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And that lady, she looked like an idiot, right? She was just rude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird.
So basically this person came through and just mocked everything about the drive-through worker and said a bunch of stuff and say, you know, get a real job. Turns out the person that said all this stuff was the passenger. And the whole issue was they didn't want to park in reserve parking to wait for their order. So that's what happened. Mm. So then it escalated into big saga. And then the girl was found out, you know, and the where she worked is a restaurant. Funny enough.
Oh, no way.
She works in a restaurant. And the owner of that restaurant was like, "We came here from another country. We honor everybody. And, you know, that's just not the behavior we'd like to have, despite its character, its honor, its representation, and its reputation." And they fired her.
Wow. Holy, yeah. It really got deep, eh?
Yeah, the saga continues, right?
It escalated quickly.
You know, and here they thought, you know, so yeah, I agree with you, Dominic, on this stuff and people being cowards these days. But then, you know, when reality hits, you know, you got to be straight. You got to be straight. And I really like the pictures. I like the authenticity, understanding, and I might not read every review, and you kind of dismiss the super high and the super low. That's kind of how I look at things. And it's like, you know, do I trust? Do I not? I obviously have issues with Google. And so, you know, is it about, if it's about average and it looks like that's what we're feeling, we're going to head on over.
Do you think this whole pricing thing is going to prevent people from trying out new places than they normally would?
Oh, well,
or they might go, "Oh, I didn't know it was that cheap or inexpensive." Wrong word. No, is that going to happen?
I don't know. My gut tells, well, this is from my personal experience. So if I see the 100+, then that's probably going to prevent me from trying that place, especially if I'm with my kids. If I'm with my wife, we'll probably try it out anyway. But the $3 signs, that could mean $70 a piece and not 100. And then if you have someone who's getting drinks and stuff on top of that, it could, you know, the 100 as the baseline could get pricier. So I don't know. I feel like there's probably still a range of folks there, or a subset or an audience of folks that, segment is the word I'm looking for, that still may affect whether or not they try. I don't know that it personally wouldn't affect me to try and prevent me from trying something lower. I might be like, "Oh, 5-star, this thing's $10. Like, let's go check it out."
Well, I'm with you. I'm with you, Justin, because Jay, you pointed out this one restaurant as you were scrolling through them. You're like, "Oh, I've been there." I think it started with Holy something. Holy Grill, yeah. So, and it was between $10 to $20, and I'm like, that's, you know, what that sounds like a pretty reasonable price.
4.6,
stars. So I was like, I don't think it would prevent someone from trying something different. Like for me, I'd be like, "Oh, it had some good ratings. It looks like it's close to us," because sometimes that's just the factor for me, depending on where I'm going. Is like, who's closest, and so that I would have tried it. I don't know if it wouldn't not prevent me, but I think there's going to be some other impacts.
I think sure. if you think about the hierarchy of what's going to cause someone to make a decision too, like we talked about information hierarchy, they're going to label the most important things first. Does it suck? I think it's higher than how much does it cost? It's like, if I'm going to eat, like I want a good experience. Can I get a good experience for a reasonable amount of money? You know, is kind of the order that I'm that's the way I think about it. That's the way it's probably majority of people, which is why they have it in that order.
I think he made another smart comment. What do you guys think? Yeah, I think he did it again.
That's two? Justin. That's two. All right, how do I get out of here? You're done.
That's too many. Dominic, make sure we check your IQ before they come on.
Yeah, is he? is Justin a bot?
Yeah, exactly.
He's a beep bop.
Yeah, he's a ChatGPT.
That's right.
You made him earlier.
But I think
it's going to have an impact. I don't think we'll see what it is. It's great to talk about this stuff, and anything, maybe I'll pull a little bit more attention to, does it make the restaurants look like they're making a lot of money? I would have rather saw maybe what the profit is that these restaurants are making off of your $10 dish or your $20 dish.
That might steer people clear.
That might make people go, oh shit, I didn't know they only made 5 cents.
They may get people to want to support them, or maybe like, dude, they're gouging.
Exactly.
You know, so right?
I could go reality breakfast. Of what it is. What?
So if everyone actually knows that.
An article in the $6 breakfast, and the guy's, you know, busy every day and now talking about bringing in another special next month to try and get people to come. So his pricing strategy worked, and he said, hey, I ain't going to spend it on marketing. I'm going to spend it on finding a way to make a good value meal here, and that worked. And that,
and the marketing will follow.
On that lady, his low end. Well, he got
free marketing because it was on the news. Yeah.
Yeah. And then people are going to give reviews, and they're going to share on social and user generated content. Like, it's a good strategy.
Well, Dominic, myself,
everybody they talked to was just thrilled that they haven't seen a $6 breakfast since probably 1995 or something, right?
Dominic, we said this. Now, me and Dominic myself, he's proper English, Jay, is that we did a show last month, right, Dominic? It was last month. We created a whole dollar. It was called the Dollar Dine. It was a whole strategy on a dollar store mentality for a restaurant. And we looked at other avenues of generating profit into that restaurant. So we could have a $6. We actually said $5. $5 meal or a $3 meal to a $5 meal was kind of our range that we could do it by bringing in other revenue from other, you know, other means. I was on a show last week in Scott for over in England. He told me that every restaurant should have at least five revenue streams today coming in to generate the profit that they're looking for. And also the other day I thought, you know what, maybe restaurants are not a single business anymore. Maybe you need to have multiple locations to have the profit or the income that you're looking for to live today. Maybe it's so different than the trucking industry back in the day. My dad had a trucking company. It was just himself with one truck, and he lived a very good life. Today, you need multiple trucks to live like he did with one truck. Is that the same the restaurant industry is going to?
And I've never run a restaurant. I don't. So what I'm about to say may bring my smart comments back down to net zero, but perhaps. Perhaps, like, if you think of other, like, stores, like, they typically have, in tons of different industries, loss leaders, where it's like you bring someone in with that deal, and then you just upsell them on the other thing. So if I'm bringing them into the restaurant, and then now I can upsell them on the drinks or the apps or whatever else, you know, it might be. But, I mean, it's definitely a strategy. It's going to work for some, for sure.
Now, do you think that restaurant, Dominic, that I saw in Google, we should have looked at it, and see if he had a $10 to $20 range.
I think he was like kind of a full service family restaurant. So that was just a way of sort of getting some advertising out and getting the community to know them. So definitely people are going back to eat at other parts of the day now, that just because he's connected with community, right? So, brilliant on their part, I think. Smart.
Well, thank you to the media to finally tell a good story about our industry too.
Right? Yeah, that's good.
But I wonder what the opposite.
So we're just,
I wonder what happens when enough, like enough's enough. Like if is he tied into running that forever? Is he, once he gets rid of the $6 meal, is he going to frustrate people because they showed up?
He said he's going to do it monthly. I think he's going to bring another special in next month. To try.
You sure he didn't listen to our show, Dominic? I think he listened to our show.
Who, me?
No, the guy.
I can assure you I did not, sir.
We said trademark at the end. We should have said trademark.
We're going to send him a bit. He's going to get an invoice from us. We'll have to get
Exactly. Damn it. It's going to be dollar and dime next thing on the news.
Take care of it. We'll take care of it. Oh, geez. I think that regardless of whatever you try, you know, marketing, gimmicks, you know, today's sale, today's deal, you still have to have, you know, I think it was Dominic or all of us said it, you got to have good food. You got to have a good experience. And then, do it with honor, integrity, and rinse and repeat, and it'll continue. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no better marketing than that. So, and I don't know how to market. So that's all I do is I do a good job, rinse and repeat. And that's the bare minimum that I figured out in marketing.
And if you have that good, if you create a good experience, you drive loyalty, right? If you don't do that and you just focus on marketing to drive traffic, you're throwing good money after bad. And it's like, you'll just continue to spend into a bucket with a hole in it. It's like, get your house in order within the four walls of your business, create that solid experience, and then start driving people there. And test new things. Like, that's it. We talk about all the time on our show. It's like, test. Don't get in your own way of figuring out what works with your audience by, you know, paralysis by analysis, thinking you have to come up with some big hypothesis or plan or, you know, big marketing plan or whatever it might be. Just throw something out there, see what works, and just kind of you'll work into optimizing, you know, eventually. But as long as you get started, that's where, if you don't get started 3 months from now, you're going to be thinking, man, I still need to do something. And you're still going to be in a hole.
Yeah. You're absolutely right, Justin. I comment like that all the time, as well as just talking about the importance of trying new things, getting out there, trying new things in your menu. Try. A lot of restaurants sit back and do not enough R&D. And I think it is critical for a business, especially in today's world where we're always trying to find the new thing. Or trying the new sauce or new product or the new marketing strategy, especially in the social channels. It's changing so much that I think if you're not playing in that field all the time, you're going to lose. You're going to lose hard.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you see that today. QSRs are moving at light speed.
I think the other part of this whole piece is just building that community around you. So you do that good job, you work on, you know, new stuff or new, you're asking the questions, you know, to, you know, your customers, to everybody around you. And you're right, Justin, so many people spend so much time on a hypothesis and research and before we, let me just test one more thing. And, you know, we go with planning, we do research, we do all that stuff, but we also say, go with gut, just get the heck out there and try it and test it and at least fall down and get that feedback so you can actually make it better. And that's vulnerability, right? That's not easy sometimes to some, but I think sometimes of the younger generation, the reason why they do really well by like exploding in a new business, because they have no fear. Mm-hmm. they're just fearless. They just go in there and they're like, let me just try it. If I fall on my face, what's the big deal? You know, it's today's news for a minute and then, you know, something else will come along. And sometimes when we get older, I don't know what happens. We kind of sometimes lose that fearlessness. Maybe we figured out, we're aging. There's some other stuff going on.
You don't have time to recover like you do when you're younger.
Yeah.
It's just too risky.
Well, we have to wrap up because we're getting to the 1 hour mark and Dominic gets mad when I
thank goodness.
I'm too late. I get him too late.
I'm not going to be able to fall asleep. I'm too energized. I'm going to have to go watch the news for a half hour.
It's all good. Well, thank you both, Rita and Justin, for joining us tonight. Thank you to all everyone on TikTok, LinkedIn, all the other channels, Instagram, and everywhere else that was joining us tonight. It was great having everyone on here. Great topic. Let's see what happens over the next little bit. I have a feeling it'll be in the news tomorrow. There's my prediction. It wasn't in the big news. It was kind of in a soft news space. in our industry, but I think it's going to be up there in the top news tomorrow, if not by the end of the week. So thank you enough so much for joining us. And by the way, Dominic, this wasn't a podcast in any which way.
Yeah, you know what, Jay? We normally throw that in there about once every 10 minutes.
We got a little sloppy today.
We got very sloppy, yeah.
Yeah, we almost
so felt people like listening in the middle, they might actually think it's a podcast. But if they're watching it, and they don't see that big scroll. I think we should increase the size of the font of the scrolling news bar at the bottom.
We have these big screens. It's not a podcast. Don't you see us?
Well, thanks for inviting me onto the Not a Podcast, you know, late night show. It's completely past my bedtime at this point, so. I'm going to probably go.
We did that for a reason, Rita. We got rid of all the older people that watch our shows and just. We did the same thing.
Legal is not watching right now.
Legal's not watching. It's bad. Anyways,
thanks for having me as well. Great.
All right. Thanks so much, everyone. We'll see you later.
Thanks, everyone. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.